I've had the privilege of being in radio for a few years. This is a first, though, as we come to you from the Golden One Center. Doing the show while my partner's getting dressed. I don't know that I've ever.
This is the stuff people don't see behind the scenes, right? It's like, you know how it is.
Right? I wish I hadn't seen some of it. But...
Please. Might have to start an OnlyFans. Oh, OnlyFans account. Something like that. You know, why not? Shoot.
Yeah. Well, I know it's a big day for you. It's a big day for everybody here, but of course, Kyle Draper. And Whitey Gleason coming to you from the Golden One Center. And Kyle's getting ready to do some. Well, not some TV work, not just some TV work. He's got the call again tonight.
Got the call, yeah.
NBC Sports California.
You know, obviously I prepped for this game, but I feel like I've seen these guys so much lately that I know their team just as good as ours. I know their rookies did the California Classic also.
That's right.
When the Warriors were here, did the preseason game last week when they were here, the one that we actually broadcast. And so I feel like I know this team, and obviously I know our team, and you know, I can't wait. They haven't opened the doors yet here at Golden One, but I can already look out there. People are in line. Like, just the pregame vibe. Guys watching the warm-ups. The fans in the stands watching the warm-ups. You know, you'll see the electricity ratcheted up here inside Golden One.
I understand why you can't open the arena too early, but I remember going to a Warriors game years ago with a couple of guys on my high school team, and somehow we got in really early, and I remember seeing basically this, where it's players, they're not in uniform yet, they're working on their games, and it's really fascinating. And I wish more fans got to, real basketball fans, I think this is really a cool and enjoyable thing to see.
Yeah, exactly. And we're sitting here watching Harrison Barnes right now go through his warm-ups. Keegan Murray.
So I think Moses Moody
out there.
Down there.
Moses
out there.
So Moody.
Both teams.
Yeah, in the corner over here. And so, you know, it's funny because we were talking to Raymond Ritter earlier, and it might have been Tim Roy, one of them, about the staffing on these NBA teams nowadays.
That was Raymond Ritter.
Yeah, was that Raymond? Yeah. And it's like, you got, you know, each player has like two trainers they work out with. You know, it's just so crazy now to see how many people, but it's a job too, you know. And you brought up something earlier about the old Arco, or I think maybe the first arena, where they had four luxury suites.
One in each corner.
Yeah. Do you think, what came first, players' salaries or the added suites? Like, you know, because players' salaries went up, did they have to find more ways to make money? And so, oh, let's throw these suites?
Yes, I think so.
That's how it went, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's definitely as far as the chicken and the egg.
Yeah.
You know, which the chicken in that case came first, or at least the cash, the golden goose did. I have an interesting list here, a national list. You know, we talked last week about some of the Zach Lowe, I think, had a list of the most watchable teams. And the Ringer has come up with that same thing, but for players.
Okay.
The most watchable players in the league this year. So these are the players you got to watch. I think they had 20 of them, top 20 players you got to see in the NBA this year. This is based on, their categories are razzle-dazzle. Okay, that's a category. Vibes. And then the other one is ruckus, which is just, I don't know, kind of mayhem. But here you go. According to the Ringer, 10 players in the NBA. You got to see these players. You got Tyrese Halliburton was 10. Sorry, Tim. Pardon me. Then you had Darius Garland is 9th, which surprised me a little bit.
Garland, huh? Really?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wimby.
Yes. Okay.
Devin Booker and Luka 6th.
Luka. All right. I guess he's still, you know, he had that big shot the other night against
people
the Spurs.
Still love. I'm not a big fan, but I get it.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Number 5 is De'Aaron Fox.
Fox is 5?
Yes.
So he's a top 5 guy?
Yeah, must-see player this year.
I love it. I love it. And Kevin O'Connor didn't write that, I'm sure.
No, I don't think he did.
I love it, though. De'Aaron Fox is one of the most exciting guys in the NBA. And I love the fact that he can flip a switch, too, right? He can go from 0 to 100 just like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so good to see my guy getting some love. I like that.
For what it's worth, they have Anthony Edwards first, most watchable, then Steph second, the Joker third, SGA fourth, and then De'Aaron Fox 5th on the list.
Okay.
How about that?
All right.
I don't know. Nothing against Darius Garland.
No, Tatum? Tatum not on there.
Not in the top 10. I think he might have been in the top 20.
Yeah, top 20. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. No Anthony Davis. No Zion?
Not in the top 10.
What?
No. Well, yeah, it's hard to watch when you don't know if you're going to play.
That's true. That's 100% true. That's true.
Yeah.
What do you think it is about De'Aaron Fox that makes him so enjoyable? Is it the speed? Is it just his frame, his size, the way he moves? What do you think?
I think it starts with the speed, which is, you know, even by NBA standards, is really special. But there's also something he showed last year where he would take over games in the fourth quarter.
Right.
I've, like you, been watching, like most people listening, been watching basketball for a long time. What he did last year in the fourth quarter of games, it's like, well, he's not going to do it again, is he?
Right.
And that was my reaction.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah.
I know he did it last game, but he can't do it again.
Right.
And he would again and again and again. And so when you know that the other team knows what's coming and they still can't stop him, I mean, game after game, fourth quarter, key possessions, you knew he was going to get to the bottom of the
right.
circle. Didn't know what he was going to do there. He was going
right.
to shoot, going to dish it. That was incredible. So there's a swagger to his game coupled with that speed that I think makes him a real special player to watch.
No, you're 100% right. And watching him last year, I mean, we knew he was good, but we didn't know about the clutch gene that he showed. The most clutch points in the NBA last season, clutch player of the year. And you're right. It's like he just kept doing it and doing it and doing it. And, you know, I think, you know, when you look at De'Aaron's development in the NBA, the reason why he's on this list or, you know, all third team All-NBA is not because of the 25 points, but it's the way he did it in the clutch moments. And that's when you earn your reputation. I mean, his buckets, you know, he had scored 25 points a game before, but they were meaningless 25. Like, these were game-winning, big-time shots night in and night out.
Tougher buckets because
yeah.
the other team was trying harder not to let you score them.
Exactly. He became unstoppable last season. And so, no, I love the fact that he's on this list. And what do you do for an encore, though, if you're De'Aaron Fox? You know, I maintain once you get that confidence, you know, it's a wrap. And that's what we're seeing from De'Aaron Fox.
Well, I don't want to be negative on opening night, but no, to answer your question, I think it's pretty obvious. You know, as great as he was last year, he needs to be a better shooter to get to the next another level. You know, to say next level, it
right.
implies, well, he's not there yet. He was a fabulous player last year. He was all league, but he can be better if he can be a better shooter. And he was, and you've pointed out, some of the numbers show that in certain situations,
right.
he has been a better shooter
right.
than his overall numbers. But I think that's where the secret to growth, well, it's no secret. If he's going to become a better player, that's where he has to improve.
Yeah, and I'm looking at his three-point percentages over his career. His highest came in his second year, 37.1%, but he was only taking 2.9 threes a game then. After that, 29%, 32%, 30%, 32%. If he got to 35, 36%, think about that. How different and unstoppable would he be? You know, because right now, I guess, you know, the scouting report on him is turn him into a jump shoot. Give him that three-point
yes.
shot.
Yeah, he's so fast. Like I said, he'll get to the bottom of the circle, so you have to give him the jump shot if you're going to have any chance of guarding him. You got to give him something because he's so fast. So, yeah, if he can start knocking that down at a higher rate. And I think, honestly, the Kings need him to get even better, as great as he was.
Right.
I think, like, they need Keegan to get a lot better, and I think they need Fox to get better, too, this year.
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up because not many people have said that. You know, everybody thought De'Aaron Fox, great season last year, 25 points per game, 6 assists, 4 rebounds, Mr. Clutch. But he still has holes in this game. And for him to be a complete player, if he takes that step, that leap, that's only going to help the franchise. And, you know, to Mike Brown, you know, he's always saying, we're not playing just to get back in the playoffs. We're playing to be champions. If this Kings team is going to make it to the championship, De'Aaron Fox has to be an improved shooter.
Yeah,
I agree 100%.
I think we talked about that. You look at Sabonis. Sabonis probably can't do much better
right,
than he did
right.
last year. Now, he's had higher scoring averages, but you look at the total picture, it's like, wow, you can't expect much more
yeah,
than that. But Fox, as great as he was, you can look at that and go, he can actually do better.
And that's scary to think, right?
Sure.
You know, this guy scored 25 points per game on 32% three-point shooting. I mean, you hit, you know, if you got to 35, 36, that's an extra three-pointer mm-hmm. a game. You're talking 25 to 28, 29 points.
What was his, I should know this, what was his foul shooting last year?
Last year, he much improved. 78. He started off
strong. Yeah, that's pretty strong.
And then dipped back down a little bit. But compared to what he had been, you know, first year 72%, second year 73, 70, 71, 75. So he's made it, and he was getting to the line six times a game, too.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
So that shows that also he recognizes some of those areas,
right,
which he could improve. And last year he did.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Do you believe if you're a great free throw shooter, you could be a great three-point shooter? Do you think there's any correlation between those two?
I do. That's one of the things I look at. If a guy is making free throws, he's a good shooter. Doesn't mean he's automatically going to be a good three-point shooter, but to me it says the foundation is there for him to be a really good three-point shooter.
Right. And like you said, De'Aaron Fox, 78 last season. Man, if he became an 82-83% free throw shooter, he gets fouled a lot, obviously, late in games, but that could only help his three-point percentage. 32, that's just not going to get it done. That's, you know, teams won't respect you as a shooter at 32%.
You know, I'll tell you, Kyle, a few years ago when he was a rookie, I remember Jordan Poole struggled mightily with his three-point shot. He ended up getting set to Santa Cruz, could not make a three. He was one of those guys that looked like, wow, the three-point line's just too far for him in the NBA. But he was a great free throw shooter from day one. And
yeah.
You can see, all right, it's there. It's going to take him a while to find it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now he's deadly from three. And so hopefully we see that growth in De'Aaron Fox. And that's what's so scary about this Kings team. There's room for growth pretty much, you know, outside of HB, outside of Domas. Everybody else can add something to their game.
We take a quick timeout, come back as we head down the home stretch here, getting ready for game night from the Golden One Center opening night in Sacramento. So how do the Kings take care of business tonight? That's next. Kyle Draper, Whitey Gleason, Sactown Sports. Help with something as we head down the home stretch here. Drive, guys. Thanks for being with us this week, by the way. It's been an incredible week with so much going on, and we appreciate you being with us, and the support has been amazing. You know, we've only had the show on a short time. It's been great. Thank you for all your participation and support. We appreciate it.
Dude, I'm not in charge of giving out raises or anything like that. You don't have to butter me up or anything.
No, that's not what I need help
with. Oh, all right.
Yeah, but I just, before I got to that, I realized, hey, thanks. You know, it has been an amazing week.
It has
the opener.
Yes.
Of course, we had the 49ers game, so we're just getting warmed up here. Here's what I need your help with. I don't know if you remember, but I told you a few weeks ago that when we come to games, we each pick a player, and my wife and my daughter, her husband. Yeah. So my wife, she's got a dog sit tonight so that my daughter and her husband can come to the game. So I'll be here, and Lonnie's coming, and Derek. So we're going to pick players. I get to pick last. I always have to pick last.
Yeah.
So Steph's off the board, which is fine.
Okay.
And then Fox will probably be gone, and then I don't know. I'm going to be picking fourth, in other words. Who should I pick to be high score?
Oh,
who
highest score.
The best chance? Considering, again, that the most likely guys will be off the board by the time I pick. Is Harrison Barnes going to come out with another big game?
I would not bet on that. I would say Keegan Murray. Do you think he's off the board by then or no?
He's probably, borderline he might be. All right, yeah.
If he's off the board.
What about, I'm thinking Malik Monk might go off tonight.
But I'm thinking fourth. I'm thinking you got to have a chance. I was going to say Wiggins or somebody like that. You know, I'm trying not to be a homer. I'm trying not to be biased.
Wiggins was bad.
But exactly. Now he's going to be good, you know?
Yeah.
So, all right, let's run it down. Me and you can draft right now.
Okay.
Number one, Steph Curry?
Curry, sure. Because my wife's picking first.
Number two, De'Aaron Fox.
Uh-huh.
Who's number three?
Number three is going to be
See, that's where it gets. Is it Clay? Is it Domantas Sabonis?
Probably Sabonis.
Okay.
Now,
pick anybody, Whitey, that's left. And I'm thinking Keegan Murray.
All right.
I don't know. Remember, Keegan showed out well late in that series against Golden State. Let's not forget, he had a couple of solid games. And I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see if Wiggins is guarding him. But they usually throw Wiggins on De'Aaron Fox, if I'm correct. So Keegan might have a size advantage. Maybe he's going against Clay or something like that.
Harrison Barnes is on a mission, isn't he?
Is he really, though?
That was incredible.
It was incredible.
And you know he's got a little something-something for his old team.
Exactly. But I don't know if that's a good thing for HB. It's not like – because HB is not that assassin kind of guy. Like, he – you know, I don't think he feels like – Some say he was done wrongly by Golden State by trading him. But I don't think he's breathing, you know, fire, you know, when he sees Golden State come into the building. These are his guys still. And so that's why I'm hesitant to pick Harrison
Barnes. Keegan is your recommendation.
Keegan is the guy. Mark it down.
All right.
Mark it
down. And if by chance he's gone, that would mean maybe Sabonis is available.
Sabonis is still available.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Sabonis got something to prove tonight.
He sure does.
So, you know, you talk about a guy with some motivation, you know. And I didn't think Sabonis played well the other night in Utah, really. But he still wound up with 22 points.
That's him, right?
That's him, right?
Oh, he didn't have a good night.
Whoa, right.
Sorry, I guess he did.
Exactly. So I think he's highly motivated tonight.
Mm-hmm. So how do the Kings take care of business? I think it comes down tonight. Tempo, I think, is going to be important. Physicality.
Yep.
Without, and also, who fouls the most? Both these teams foul a lot.
Yeah.
And so you're going to have to make your free throws, defend without fouling. And as we said with Saint, second chance points, I think, will be huge.
Yeah, second chance points, you know, to me is at the top of the list.
And I don't know. I haven't seen KD's keys to the game, so I don't know. So I'm not, you know.
I haven't seen him yet either. Yeah. You know,
yes, I'm not stealing
building.
From her.
Right, exactly.
No, I know because I looked for him, and I couldn't find him.
All right, so second chance got to be on there, though, right?
Yep.
Like, it has to be. I'm going to keep an eye on the three-point line tonight. Whoever wins the three-point battle, I think, wins this game. I don't think either team is a, you know, pound it in your paint kind of team. They do it with dribble drive, get into the paint.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's all predicated on their three-point shooting. And so I got my guy Kevin Huerter obviously hitting three in the first half. I think it's going to be a big three-point night for Sacramento. And so whoever wins that, if you keep Steph Curry from hitting more than, let's say, five threes. Let's say he only hits four.
Is that another prediction?
No.
Dude,
some of my predictions might contradict each other. I don't even know what I've been predicted lately. But if Steph Curry, let's put it at 5.5. If Steph Curry hits six threes or more, we lose. If you hold him under that, you win.
All right. You got it. I got
there you
it
go. You, I love it. I love it.
it's going to be a very special night here. And, of course, we're just getting warmed up and game night is coming up, but I do think Kevin Huerter and the Kings backcourt, not just Kevin Huerter, but De'Aaron Fox and Davion and Monk have to shoot the ball better tonight than they did in the first game. If, to your point, if the Kings are going to keep pace with these Warriors when it comes to three-point shooting.
Right. You're 100% right. And I'm thinking about this Warriors team, and maybe I'm disrespecting them, Whitey.
There's a high flyer.
High flyer. Come here for a second. High flyer. Come here, man. High flyer in the building.
We get him here?
He's about to come up on game night.
Okay.
Jump on, man, because I got a $1 million question for you. Is that one okay? Is that one okay?
Sure.
All right. I got a $1 million question for you as you put on the headset. Go ahead. You got me?
Yeah, I'm here. You said $1 million question?
Why are you looking like Suge Knight up in here?
What's going on?
You out for death, huh? This Death Row Records out here.
Hey, I might have a 2-cent answer for you.
How you feeling about tonight, baby? What you got?
You know what? I'm loving it, man. I'm loving the atmosphere. I'm loving what they're trying to do. And they're trying to they're definitely trying to pump this rivalry thing going.
Yeah.
They're trying to get this rivalry going. And for right now, for what we got, national television, these two teams, they're building on it, fellas. They're definitely building on it.
How long before Chris Paul makes his impact on this rivalry and becomes a player that Kings fans can't stand?
Well, Chris Paul has always been that guy. he's going to do that from game one. But I'll tell you what, the intriguing part is the Steph Curry, De'Aaron Fox connection.
Yeah, yeah. You like that?
I love it.
Do you
what?
Really?
I
what?
Love it. I love it. I love
what?
It. I love it. For one, I'm sorry. It's almost like the passing of the torch.
Ah.
And Steph Curry has been there, has done that. He is on top of the mountain. But you got a new Fox in town. And this guy is coming. He's getting better and better. And now he's on your brand, but he's also on your back. I like that. I like it a lot, fellas. You guys ain't into that. You ain't buying it.
I'm not buying it, dude.
You ain't buying it.
It's too buddy-buddy. You know,
this guy is putting money in your pocket. Wait, KD.
He's paying you.
KD, I'm sorry. It's not like if De'Aaron Fox doesn't have the Curry collection, he's not going to be standing on the corner holding a sign, "We'll work for food." Okay? That's not going to happen.
Okay, all right, all right.
But you know what? D-Fox is a competitor, bro. He is going to go out there and go right at Steph Curry because he's always had that mentality of, I have to show you. I have to show you. Even when he came out and it was him with Lonzo Ball.
Yeah, remember?
I got to show you.
Yep.
He's always had that chip on his shoulder. So it's going to be the exact same thing. Okay, Steph Curry, you are who you are. And, okay, you're the boss. But I'm the next coming. And I'm going to show you. I'm telling you.
Yeah, but if you're Steph Curry, it's like, yeah, you do that and you make money for me too.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
So Steph Curry.
A win-win for Steph Curry, right?
Steph's not going to lose. He's not going to lose at all.
That's amazing. What's the key tonight, man?
Defense always.
Okay.
Defense always. I like what I saw in Utah.
Okay. Do you?
Yes. Because you know why? And I'm going to tell you what I liked. You know, it wasn't always the best as far as, you know, shutting down your man and, you know, staying in front of the ball.
And keeping the other team from scoring.
But they were lively. They were lively.
Okay.
They were lively.
They were the effort was there.
They were lively.
Right, okay.
You saw deflection. You saw hands in passing lanes. Guys were – okay, they were fouling also, but I'm with that. I'd much rather have to tell a guy to calm down than to have to wind a guy up. You know
how do you – and I know Mike Brown's preaching this, and the Warriors had the same problem. How do you become more physical defensively, which they have to do without fouling all the time?
Here's the deal. It has to be done collectively. If you're going to play that high-pressure defense, everybody has to be fouling because they can't call all the fouls.
And that's like old bad boys philosophy,
exactly.
Right?
And yeah. Once you
ain't going to call them all.
Right. And once you set that tone as a physical team, they let it go. But everybody is going to have to be able – you can't have one guy out there that don't touch nobody and just let guys blow past. Everybody has to be hidden. Everybody has to be physical. Everybody has to touch each and every last cutter that go across the middle. Think about it. If the Sacramento Kings, back in the day, because this is my era I played in, if you came across the middle on an NBA team, I don't care who you were, you caught a forearm.
Really? You're hitting them.
You got to
catch them. You got to touch them as they
You bet not go through that paint and nobody touch you. You're going to get a forearm. The referees wouldn't call it.
Right.
They don't care how hard they hit you. They wouldn't call it.
All right,
so
Henry,
if the Kings set that mindset, that's the way it would be.
You got to save some of it for game
night.
That's
what I was thinking. Don't use all your material, baby.
Yeah. You know, Kyle, hey, had a great call tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
And let me tell you, fellas, it's so much going on right now with this basketball team, so much good stuff. I couldn't ever – if I sat here for an hour, I wouldn't use up all my stuff.
no doubt about it. Let me ask you this, though, real quick, High Flyer. Do the players understand how big this is? Do you think
so.
The players know?
KD, you're talking about everybody – at least 10 of these guys went 7 games with Golden State.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't think that sticks with you?
I mean, it should.
It wasn't that long ago.
No.
It should.
It sticks with you, and everybody in that locker room is like, we have to redeem ourselves. We were right there. Had them.
Yes.
2-0.
2-0.
And we let them off the hook. let them off the hook. And they know that. So, yes, everybody in that locker room feels this.
My man.
Great job, Kyle Draper. We'll be watching you tonight.
Same to you,
stick around for the High Flyer. Henry Turner, game night is next. Thanks for being with us all this week, and thanks for being with us tonight on this special Sacramento opening night from the Golden One Center. Drive, guys, Sactown Sport.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.